You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and I'm here with Drone Gandhi.
I'm not Drone Gandhi.
Well, you look like Drone Gandhi.
I don't look like Drone Gandhi.
I am Indian.
I appreciate being compared to a thought leader, but not Drone Gandhi.
I think it's safe to say that you are a thought leader.
No, I don't think so. Well, maybe, depends.
For everyone who doesn't
maybe know to my mother.
Who we're talking about, this is Mr. Angad Singh. Hey, welcome to your third time on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it the third time or the fourth?
I'm not sure.
I think it's the fourth.
Well, either way, it's going to be a great show.
And guys, I hope so.
We're here to talk today about Pix4D fields, but I want to go deeper than just Pix4D fields because I want to talk about how these agricultural solutions can be done without internet, how they can be done localized on farms and provide great data to people. But I also want to talk, and I want to help people understand the limitations of cloud processing, because we're seeing so many software companies here. They're like, oh, we're going to do this to mapping workflow and this to agriculture and this to farmers. But it just seems like it's a lot of hubbub. It's a lot of hype. So I mean,
There is a lot of hype. In the tech industry, we have a lot of hype around this idea of the cloud right now. And that's very simply because, you know, if you're able to put data on the cloud, you can share it easier with, you know, multiple stakeholders, your clients, et cetera, as well as have that data accessible, you know, in a server, in a protected environment. A lot of these servers that host data have particular ISO standards, you know, information security standards, where this data is going to be safe, et cetera. For example, I mean, Pix4D, the Pix4D has a cloud, but if you physically go to the server and take out the hard drive where that data is stored, you know, because at the end of the day, the cloud's somewhere up there, but it's all based somewhere, you know, some locality physically on the ground. If you physically take that hard drive off, you can't actually take the data off it because it's all encrypted. So yes, there's a lot of benefits to the cloud, but something that we need to keep in mind is that the bottleneck of cloud processing is going to be uploading those images from your drone or from your tablet to the cloud itself.
I heard someone say recently that they were really upset with the fact that they have to take their images off the card and put them on a computer, and they want to solve that problem. But I mean, when we were mapping like Sloan Park, for example, in Phoenix, I was trying out 3DR's new site scan program.
Yeah, you know, very cool. Powered by Pix4D.
The only thing was is that when I actually uploaded those 1,500 images, we were there at the park for an extra hour and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for me, I'm not a patient person, so that's not something that I do.
Yeah.
Right? I prefer desktop processing. That's just me personally. A lot of people do prefer the cloud. Now, I mean, in some ways, it's nice that, you know, Pix4D as a mapping solution has both the cloud and the desktop available. But what's even more intriguing is that, you get both of them.
Yeah, no, I think it's really cool. But I think it's also important for people to also understand the limitations of cloud processing, and specifically cloud processing. Because again, a lot of these guys are promising big things, and it's like, well, can you correct, for example, elevation? If, let's say, you're flying a DJI Phantom and your elevation is off by 400 feet, like it was in our map last week, you know, are we going to be able to go to these cloud processors and say, okay, I'm going to manually make my GCPs so that way my map actually snaps in to the correct elevation?
So today you can't do that, but there are a lot of mapping solutions that are available on the market today. And I'm sure that some of them do. Actually, I don't think any of them do actively today, but there's no reason that these, you know, these features are not in the pipeline for tomorrow. So for example, I know in the Pix4D cloud, it's not there today, but there's no reason that it won't be there tomorrow. Same thing with a lot of these other, you know, companies that are out there doing amazing work in the drone industry. At this stage of the industry, we're still a lot earlier than most people think. I mean, for example, here we are at DJI AirWorks, and I was just sitting through the keynote, and the gentleman from Microsoft was discussing the idea that, yes, there's a lot of companies out there like Southern Company, et cetera, that, you know, also use Pix4D, that are doing amazing work and really pushing the boundaries of what we think is possible with drones for industrial applications. But there's also very, very large enterprises that have yet to even touch their foot in the water of that innovation that is, you know, UAS and UAS data.
That's a really good point. One of the things I noticed, even we just spoke with Propeller propeller, the little...
Yeah, absolutely. PCP cap, yeah, for sure.
They were actually saying that they're trying to create an end-to-end solution. Well, they're not trying to create. That's not fair for me to say. They created an end-to-end solution that utilizes the new Phantom 4 Pro RTK instead of the base station, with arrow points. And they were selling, I think it was 5 arrow points or an arrow point and the drone for $7,500, which typically if you buy it from DJI, you're gonna pay $7,500 for the drone and the base station. But the interesting part, because I asked him the same question, I said, so how can I create manual tie points and GCPs? And he's like, we pay people on the back end to do that stuff for you.
Actually, a lot of people would be surprised with how much a lot of this work is actually done by just people in the back end physically, you know, and manually digitizing data. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah, no, it's really fascinating, but I think that should also give a lot of you hope, because if just, you know, people who barely understand the grand premise of photogrammetry, but they're able to just in the back end create things, that should give a lot of you hope in the ability or in the belief that you're able to create these maps on your own. Well, all right, really quick. So let's talk about Pix4D fields, because agriculture is big. One of the things I said on a recent show was that we needed internet for Pix4D fields to work. That was wrong. I wanted to correct that really quick. But I also want to help farmers understand the value of mapping. I mean, let's talk about what Pix4D fields does and why is it valuable to farmers.
So Pix4D fields is a product that was designed with the help of farmers.
It is in collaboration with farmers.
Most certainly, absolutely. I think Pix4D is, and I'm actually very proud of our team in Berlin that is responsible for this product, because they've done it with a lot of honesty and a lot of integrity. And they've spent a lot of time, you know, testing it with real farmers and real folks from the agriculture community, you know, in the field, really. And I think that one, Pix4D Fields is called Pix4D Fields, but it has a tremendous amount of application in a multitude of industries. For example, I think Pix4D Fields is the greatest innovation of 2018. You can take 1,000 photographs, which in Pix4D Mapper or any other of, you know, the image processing solutions that are available on the market today could take a couple hours. But with Pix4D Fields, you can take those 1,000 images and make a good ortho mosaic, a proper 3-axis ortho rectified ortho mosaic in maybe 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I've live demoed this product in front of people and put 1,000 images into this software and it does it. And so Pix4D Fields was designed with basically two ideas. There's two premises. One is that in this industry with image processing, having a powerful computer is a bottleneck. And then also, you know, the speed, the amount of time it actually takes to generate these very valuable data products is also a bottleneck. So Pix4D Fields is designed to go very, very fast and work on not very good hardware. So it's limited in the amount of RAM that it can actually access in your machine. Exactly. So
that's probably good for farmers who maybe don't have the most up-to-date.
Exactly. You don't have to have the most amazing, you know, like for example, I have an Alienware 13-inch with 32 gigs of RAM and a, you know, NVIDIA 1060 graphics card in it. I love my laptop. It's fantastic. It has flashing lights. I mean, it's great.
Give me the flashing lights.
But a lot of people don't have access to machinery like that. So with Pix4D Fields, the ability to process locally in the field on a not very powerful, you know, run-of-the-mill computer, that's very, very cool. And then on top of that, you know, it's the idea that you can get instant insights in the field. I worked with a situation where, yes, Pix4D Fields is for agriculture. You can fly the drone in the field, put your images into the software. This Pix4D Fields on your computer will just process those images very, very quickly. Within five minutes, you'll have a map. And then you can look at that map and you can identify weak spots in your crop. One thing that I do want to let the listeners out there.
Okay, continue, but I want to know how we know those weak spots. But don't let me stop you. Please continue.
Of course.
You want farmers to know what?
I want farmers, not just farmers, but you know, everybody to know that one, you have to respect the farmer. You have to respect them. You have to respect what they're doing. Without them, we don't eat. Yeah. And I think that one thing in this industry that I have been a little irritated about is that folks promise things that aren't true. For example, you cannot fly a drone over a farm field and identify, you know, if there's a nitrogen or a phosphorus deficiency. You cannot identify how, you know, dehydrated your crops are. These things are not possible. They are just simply not possible. You cannot identify what the problem is. The advantage of using drones and using imaging technologies on fields today on crops is to identify where the problem is.
So are you saying that all we're doing is identifying where the problem is and then we're doing soil samples in that area?
Yes.
So the efficiency gain is actually data decision.
So a typical workflow will be, so for example, a lot of agronomists out there that are starting to adopt this technology, the agronomist will fly. The agronomist is a guy that has a lifetime of knowledge of looking at specific crops and understanding their life cycle, understanding what stresses them out, understands what their, you know, what their diseases are, et cetera, and then is able to apply prescriptions or apply recipes of different chemicals in order to help that field or help that particular crop. So let's say that you have 1,000 acres. You can fly a drone over these 1,000 acres and then through the imagery, identify weak spots. And this is something in the software that you can do. There's different things. I mean, you've ever heard the term NDVI?
Yes.
NDVI is one of potentially thousands of what's called vegetation indexes. So essentially,
really cool, by the way, there's a really cool NASA map of an NDVI time lapse. It's like 20 years old, and you can actually see the growth on the western and midwest United States over the last 20 years has surpassed the growth on the east coast, and they're actually seeing waning deficiencies or density of forests. So that's really interesting you say that. Hold on really quick. You are going a million miles an hour. I love it, and you are so smart. But one thing I think is really important too is that a lot of people mix NDVI. They think that they can just do NDVI with drone deploy, that they get this reflectance map, and voila, there's our NDVI. But I just want to correct really quick with you that if we want to do actual NDVI, we need a camera that is actually made for NDVI.
So there's no such thing as an NDVI camera.
Is it just the filter to remove the infrared?
There's no filter. Any filtered camera or a modified camera does not give you radiometrically accurate data products.
So it's not calibrated?
What this means, they're bogus. The values are bogus.
Gotcha.
You have to have a sensor that is calibrated. So essentially, let's take, for example, the Micasense Red Edge. I would highly recommend this camera.
Which is just coming out too with the new payload SDK that DJI just launched.
Yeah, so the Micasense Red Edge, it has 5 lenses. Each lens is physically designed to pick up wavelengths of light in a certain range of the electromagnetic spectrum. What that means in base, you know, like layman's English is, there's a specific lens that looks at how much light is being reflected from the object in the green, what we see as green, or what we see as red, or what we see as blue. And then also beyond that, in what is near infrared, as well as what is called the red edge, which is just certain wavelengths of light that allow us to understand a plant's health. So basically, all this technical information, remote sensing, this is the subject of remote sensing. It's a complex subject that has been highly specialized for a very long time. Today, with drones and with these sensors that are amazingly made and easy to use, we can put this technology in the hands of folks. And with, you know, a couple short information sessions, they can do the high quality work that before was very highly specialized. So with a product like Pix4D Fields, you use the sensor that's been highly calibrated, that's designed to do the right work correctly, and you don't have to worry about calibration. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. So, okay, I'll break it down. Let's make it even more basic. Go out in the field. You have a drone. The drone has a camera on the bottom of it. The drone also has a camera on the top of it that we call a downwelling sensor, a sunshine sensor. Every time the camera takes a photo, the sunshine sensor records a value on top of the drone of what the total amount of light was at that moment. Then the software, that is either Pix4D Mapper or Pix4D Fields, will radiometrically calibrate. What that means is it'll just correct all the values and make sure that, you know, they're fixed for the amount of light in the moment, so that at the end of it, you get what's called a reflectance map. So what is reflectance? Reflectance is a percentage. So basically,
of light that's
being reflected. Like, why do we see a plant as green? Because a plant is absorbing all these wavelengths of light, and then it is reflecting
green.
The wavelengths of light that we see as green. And that's why we see plants as green. That's why your shirt's gray. You know, that's why my shirt is red, etc. And so These cameras are purpose-built sensors. I really only recommend the Micasense Red Edge or the Parrot Sequoia. You fly your drone, you put these images.
What about the new Micasense? Was it the Altum?
The Altum's sweet. It has a thermal sensor on it too. Ugh. It's real cool.
So hold on, I have a question. If a farmer is like, oh man, well this is really interesting as far as understanding true NDVI and understanding really the Red Edge and what's possible. With the payload SDK, I'm probably going to be limited to fly that on like an M600 or an M210.
Which is very popular. A lot of people are putting the Micasense on an M600. Very common.
Yeah. My point though is, do you think that it would be necessary or beneficial if I were, say, mapping just to create that quick ortho so I can index my fields and then also have that reflectance map? Is there a way that we can intertwine those two pieces or two layers?
Yeah, you can layer them on top of each other. You can export these data products, you know, the ortho mosaic and the reflectance map are two different data products. Inherently, they are very different. Reflectance map, each pixel has one value, and that's the percentage of light being reflected in whatever spectrum you're looking at green or red, et cetera. Ortho mosaic is a map, is a RGB map that is looking exactly at what you're looking at, right?
Together, yep.
So they're both incredibly useful, but they're different. They're fundamentally different, right? So and then basically you take this reflectance map, and I think a good analogy would be that you take an X-ray, right?
Yeah.
You look at an X-ray, but it takes a radiologist who's trained to read that X-ray. A reflectance map is kind of similar, although now with this new drone technology, et cetera, we're making it easier to put in the hands of everybody, and that's awesome. But you can take these reflectance maps and you can look at them and you can say, hey, if the plant is reflecting a lot of light in the near infrared, it's gonna be, you know, pretty healthy. If it's reflecting not so much light in the near infrared, maybe it's not doing so well. The whole purpose of this is in Pix40 fields, you get a really pretty colorized map. And that pretty colorized map, if it's green, it's good. If it's yellow, it's not so good. And if it's red, it's bad. So basically you just look at this pretty colorized map that has been designed so that you can understand where the crop is healthy, where the crop is not so healthy, and where the crop is not doing very well, so that you can best manage, or you as a service provider can give this information to an agronomist. And the agronomist can say, okay, I wanna go and soil sample physically in the field at the locations where the field is not doing very well. And then I can soil sample at the sections where the field is doing very well. And now you can understand what is actually happening. And from there, the agronomist can prescribe a certain recipe of chemicals that at the end of the day, the farmer needs to say yes or no to.
Let me ask you this. So if I'm a farmer today and I were to do kind of the same thing, which I know happens every day, where a particular ranch hand or a rancher or a farmer will go out and they'll walk their entire field for these same things.
Yeah.
So I think it's, or I guess I'm asking, is it safe to assume that with a farmer or a rancher, what we're looking at here is really a way to go out and almost survey or scout our entire field? Because this ortho mosaic, while it is one image that has a lot of images stitched together, you're able to zoom, 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 or in Super Troopers terms,
totally
enhance. Enhance.
Super Troopers True was hilarious.
Yes, yes, yeah. It was. Yes, it was. I think I know the key to happiness, but we're not going to talk about
that. Okay, the point is that yes, aerial crop scouting, that is really the advantage, that you don't have to now walk these thousands of acres of land. You can look at these maps, these ortho mosaics, or these reflectance maps, and you can say, okay, this looks weak, this doesn't look so good, and let's go there.
That's
because it saves you time. And that's time is money.
Exactly. So that's what I was going to get to. It's not just the ortho mosaic. It's the additional information on top of that that says, okay, let's pinpoint these areas. And over time, as the rancher or the farmer does the soil samples, they'll have an idea of what these red, green values could essentially mean.
Yeah.
And I think that's really powerful.
With agriculture, it's tremendously important to be careful of the marketing that exists out there today.
Agreed.
And to do your homework, to do your research, invest in knowledge, because you cannot say something like, I mean, if the data product's not correct, if the values are incorrect because the data wasn't processed or wasn't collected properly, bogus. yeah. bogus.
There's so much that goes into it, especially with agriculture.
Because yeah, and that's why
level it's, of depth just it's keeps going and going.
I mean,
going.
We know that in the drone industry, there is, you know, so much market research done that says agriculture is this potentially multi-billion dollar industry for drones. Yet, majority of us have not seen that. We have not seen that income. We have not seen that adoption. And that's because, and I put the onus on a lot of the marketing and a lot of these agriculture companies that, you know, some of them are doing amazing work. I mean, for example, there's a company called Agribotics mm-hmm. that's based out of Boulder, Colorado.
They are their office.
Oh, really? Very cool. That run by agronomists. Damn good guys, you yeah. know? And then, there's amazing companies out there that are, you know, doing the work. Once again, these people that are really successful with drone technology is when they're adding the drone as a new tool in their own toolbox.
So if you're not seeing the income, then that must mean that farmers are not seeing the value yet. And a recent study that I just saw.
I think a lot of the people that write these studies have never set foot on a farm in their life.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Yes.
Like legitimately. But let me just tell you about this study, see what you think. So the study said that essentially farmers were seeing a savings of $198 per hectare. Is that a significant enough savings in order to go out and spend, let's say, $2,000 on a drone and Pix4D versus, let's say, the Micasense Red Edge and an M210, and now I'm in it for $20,000?
I would totally spend the money on the camera. In an industry like agriculture, that purpose-built multispectral sensor, like the Micasense, anything Micasense makes, or the Parrot Sequoia, yeah, it's totally worth it. I think it's totally worth it. I mean, that's why I do this work, and that's why I get to go teach at a lot of, you know, like I've taught at, you know, University of Lincoln, Nebraska, Washington State University, that are leaders in precision agriculture research. But also, there seems to be, there's a lot of communication disconnects that I've seen, but also at the end of the day, it's because the farmer has to make the decision for him or herself. And it's up to them completely.
Farmers and ranchers typically are like, unless I absolutely understand the value, I'm yeah. typically not going to use the product.
I've seen that as well, you know, but I also have, I mean, I know some farmers out there that use this type of technology on a weekly basis and they love it and they see the impact.
Yeah.
So it really, I mean, do your research. I mean, obviously we're huge proponents of the drone industry and really? I want every... You're not?
No.
Oh, I'm shocked. Anyway, so I just think everybody should be using drones because I think the sensors that we can put on drones and that aerial perspective provides real value.
Yeah.
But Pix4D, get your hands on it. Greatest innovation of 2018, in my opinion.
So when you go to the Pix4D website, pix4d.com, and you see that beautiful backdrop of that crash scene, know that was from the fly-in, but then click Pix4D Fields and find out more information about what Ongood yeah. is talking about, because Pix4D Fields is really a powerful tool. Ongood, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, I appreciate it, Paul. It's really nice to be here in Dallas with you.
Definitely.
Well, not with you, but I mean, I just happened to see you here.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you just got back from India, which is what we're going to be talking about in an upcoming show, about how drones with their low barrier to entry are transforming societies throughout the world, societies that may not have had the same technological luxuries that we've become accustomed to. So stay tuned for that. And also don't forget about our upcoming training with Ongood and myself in Ashburn, Virginia, December 5th through 7th at the NTSB Training Academy, again in Ashburn,
That's
Virginia.
That's a cool one.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, like, I'm just
Seats are filling up pretty fast too.
Yeah, we're almost sold out actually. So I think a lot of people have been seeing the benefit of that class, and I know that we're limited in space, but I'm gonna see if maybe we could add a couple extra seats. In addition to the crash scene mapping course that we're doing, which is 3 days long, 2 days of processing with this guy over here, then 1 day of actual missions. Yes, you are going to fly a Cessna plane crash. Yes, you are gonna fly around a Huey helicopter in the boneyard of the NTSB. This is really a once in a lifetime opportunity. But on top of that, we're also going to be holding a flight mastery course on December 4th. So if you wanna get better at flying, if you wanna get more confident at flying, you wanna go through our 12 exercise obstacle course and really take your skills from maybe, you know, I'm kind of confident to, wow, I feel so much more alive. I feel so much more available to do different jobs, but also be able to mitigate risk. Well, if you want to do that, check it out. Just go to bit.ly/crash mapping NTSB. That's bit.ly /crashmappingntsb. Well, Ankit, thank you again, my friend. And for those of you who are watching, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for those reviews. And thank you for subscribing. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks again for watching another awesome episode of Ask Drone.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.